to the Culture Chat hosted by WorkExo. Our mission is to upgrade work. Find out more about our Workplace Genome Project at workexo.com. And now, over to our host for today. Hello, and welcome to the WorkExo Culture Chat podcast. I'm Maddie Grant. I'm founding partner at WorkExo, which is a culture analytics and culture management firm. And I'm very excited to be here with some special guests. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves in just a minute. But actually, I want to share first that this is my inaugural podcast with me being in front of the mic rather than behind the mic as producer, because Charlie and Jamie, my founding partners, have been doing podcasts for about a year, and they've been interviewing lots of really interesting people who are dealing with culture, workplace culture, directly, either inside their own organizations or as consultants and agencies. And what I wanted to do, because our podcast has been super popular, is I actually wanted to add some podcasts to this mix, but taking a slightly different angle, where I talk to people that I come across who are super interesting, who are working on all kinds of different things that may or may not be related to culture at all. It's an interesting kind of culture application to them. So without further ado, today's guests are Jonathan Webb and Brett Shuri. I'm going to ask you guys to introduce yourselves and give a little bit of context as to who you are first, and then we'll talk about your research.
Okay. Well, I'm Jonathan Webb. I'm the Vice President of Workplace Strategy at KI. KI is a contract furniture manufacturer, and we're based out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And my background is in product design, development, and sales and marketing. I've been at KI 20 years.
And hi, everyone. My name is Brett Schwery, and I'm Senior Vice President for Corporate Workplace at AECOM. I focus on design and delivery. AECOM is a global design and infrastructure firm, and I have been working in the corporate workspace space for about 30 years.
Awesome. So you both have done a really interesting study related to collegiate design. So can you give us a little bit of background on the study and the context for looking at this research in the first place?
Sure. We actually started our research about 5 years ago. Brett and I had met for the very first time out in Los Angeles, and we were having a discussion about a business school project that he was working on at Cal State Fullerton, I believe. And it was an interesting dialogue that we had, because Brett's client was actually wanting their building to look like a corporate campus or a corporate building. And we thought that was kind of funny, knowing how the inside of most corporate buildings look like. And we actually ended up taking our conversation 180 degrees, and we originally had thought about, you know, if corporations truly wanted to attract and retain recently hired graduates, it might behoove them to study where they've been spending the last 4 to 6 years of their lives. And that really helped us set the stage and to launch into this really wonderful project, where we've been spending a lot of time interviewing our clients in phase one, and then taking some of our research on the road, as it were, and actually visiting college campuses with our clients during phase two of our research. And so that brings us to today.
That's great. So what's your kind of presenting hypothesis for this study around collegiate design?
So our hypothesis ended up being, we had a longer format for it, and we kind of brought it down to a simple statement, which really had to do with corporations taking design and planning cues from the collegial design environment. That was the hypothesis, that we thought that what we were learning was that nobody was really researching this idea of studying collegial design and how it might affect the workplace. We know that students, let's clarify too, that when we say work, we kind of use work and study interchangeably, that they're kind of one and the same. So that we knew that when students were trying to achieve successes in what they were doing, that they would surely do that, certainly as soon as they graduated from a university and get into the working world and want to continue those successes. And how was it that they could be successful? And they were successful through their physical built environment. How could we impact that in the corporate workplace?
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about some of the findings. Obviously, different campuses are not all built and designed the same way, right? So are there particular things that came out of the study that were of specific interest as a conclusion?
Well, there was a lot of data that we captured over the 5 years. You know, at the very beginning, I think one of the original things that we found really interesting is that just about every company that we spoke with actively recruited for their future workforce on college campuses. Upwards of 95% of corporations, they're going onto college campuses, they're going to the career fairs, they are trying to get these soon-to-be graduates to come work for them. And the scary part is just about all of those individuals told us that they never once asked a soon-to-be graduate how they prefer to work. Mm-hmm. And you know, we thought that was a really big disconnect. It's not that a lot of corporations don't spend time on college campuses, but clearly they're not looking at how college students go about their daily work, how and where they complete their tasks, and their preferred work styles as well.
And I would add to that, too, that the gap that we saw between what that 95% of companies that we talked to recruited from universities and college, 75% of thought it was a great idea to apply some of these ideas around design, but none of them were studying it. The gap between 75 and zero was huge. So we thought that perhaps the way that we could describe it and bring this to the forefront would help to start to close that gap.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's definitely odd that they've identified this interesting need and yet nobody's doing anything about it. Do you have any sense of why that is? Is it just literally there hasn't been sort of business discourse around this topic that would start the ball rolling, so to speak, until now?
Yeah, well, and that was one of the main things is there wasn't a single company that we looked at that was ever, there wasn't a single company that we spoke with that had actually studied the collegiate work environment and tried to make and draw those comparisons between how work was being accomplished on their corporate or within a corporate building versus on a college campus. So clearly there's a huge disconnect there. You know, even it's funny because even at some of our corporate clients, they would refer to their place of work as a campus. And Brett and I always kind of joked about that. We didn't know if that was some kind of Freudian thing or something where, you know, a company would say, that, you know, welcome to a campus. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was on the 35th floor of a high rise in downtown Miami at a small pharmaceutical company, like 20 employees. And I walked off the elevator and into the office and the office manager welcomed me to her campus. Well, clearly, her definition of campus is certainly very different than what we see, you know, at a collegiate level.
Yeah, that is interesting. So in terms of definitions of campus, and more specifically, what are some of the cultural kind of aspects that you want to bring out of a campus design or campus environment into the workplace?
I think that the one that we saw that really surfaced to the top through everything that we looked at, and especially when we went back and took clients back into the colleges and toured and did a lot of observations, was everything around the social aspect of the campus and how that really connected itself back to corporations. And companies, and we've designed for so many, have really been trying very hard to address what that social aspect is. Whether that be collaboration spaces, meeting spaces, wellness things that can be addressed in a corporate workplace. But in the college environment, it's more, how would I say, more organic. It just happens. And in the corporation, we actually have to push that culture a little bit further. It's not typically organic. So I think that's the biggest difference between the two. And then from there, a lot of the actual physical aspects of how a space then can evolve to relate back to the need for that socializing can be addressed. A concrete example of that would be group work. When we talk to a lot of students, and when we've observed them, they were working in groups, but not necessarily working in teams, like what we might perhaps see in corporations where we have teaming rooms or there's groups of people they're working. In the campus environment or in the college environment, those groups, they're actually sitting next to each other. So they're rubbing elbows, and they just like that social aspect of being near each other. And they may be working in the group, but they were not working as a group. Sometimes they do. But the working in the group is very different. We found it interesting because part of our research, when we asked direct questions regarding group work, 100% of the companies recognized that graduates like to work in groups. But addressing that in the workspace is really important.
And just to add on to that, you know, one of the things that we've just really came away from in our observations is, you know, college is this 24/7 intersection of work and social interaction. And when we were walking our clients through a college campus, you know, it was difficult to tell at times whether or not a college student was working, i.e. studying, or whether they were just having some sort of casual social interaction. And, you know, I think that that type of mix of work and play or work and social interaction, I think that's often missing in work environments. And I think that's one of the reasons that when students make that jump from college to corporate, it can be difficult for them.
Yeah, that's the part of all of this that I find the most fascinating, because there's obviously a lot of design that's gone into collaborative spaces in terms of more like the water cooler space or more places for people to sit down in the kitchen area where they get their food, you know, things like that. But it's still this division really between the workspace and the social space. But in a campus, just like you say, those things are much, much more integrated.
They are. And, you know, I think what we've recognized is that you can't force the culture on the company. The company has two aspects. There's the culture of the company, and then there's the culture of work. And I think that they have to clash, and they have to blend together. And what we found is that a lot of companies are not yet perhaps receptive in their own culture for some of these newer, changing nature of work styles. And until that's kind of embraced, then maybe perhaps it's going to be difficult for them to apply some of these ideas in their company. We're not saying that's a negative. What we're saying is that the company may not be ready for that. So you can't, we've seen failures of collaboration spaces in companies where they said, okay, well, we're going to address the younger group that's working here, and we're going to give them a little fun area here with beanbag chairs over here, and then nobody goes and sits there.
Right.
And we know why they don't sit there, because they don't want to be observed that they're slacking off, that they're not doing any of their work. And that's not the way the rest of that environment works. So why would I go over there? And then it's a failure. And the company says, well, collaboration spaces don't work. Well, they don't, because the culture is not there.
Yeah, that's such a great example. And of course, you know, our focus is directly on understanding and measuring and observing culture. And so for us, it's exactly that. It's, you know, I have an example where an organization had a new CEO, which is often the reason why culture is top of mind, right? And the new CEO is all about innovation and working differently and collaboration. And he empowered everybody to go and collaborate and run with things and, you know, take action. And yet the sort of muscle memory of the old CEO's sort of averseness to all of that stuff was so strong that even though they had the outward ability to go and collaborate together, they waited for direction. They waited for instructions, you know, to do it. And it just wasn't happening all by itself. And that was reflected in their workplace as well. So I see that all the time. It's really, I mean, this is the power of culture, right? That it can actually sort of make or break some of this other stuff, even when verbally all the right people are saying all the right things.
Right. And I think that that's where you have to realize that a company that's looking at how their culture is, each company has a lot of different ranges of types of workers. And I think one of the things Jonathan and I don't want to forcibly say about this kind of research is that this is the way you should go for everything. What we're trying to say is that you need to address this as a component of all the different cultures that exist within a company, because there are some traditionalists in how they work, and that's still effective. Over time, those change. So there has to be a safe zone for everybody to work, not just based on one single type of culture. So I think the idea here around thinking about collegial design as an indicator or a director of how workspace might be able to be created is a component of many different aspects. And I think we've just been very surprised over the years of doing the research that this component has been considered.
Yeah, I think it's also really important to note too that with all of the clients that we spoke with and the ones that we took tours of at the schools, you know, the idea of a top-down led mission toward adopting, you know, some of these principles is really paramount. I mean, you have to have buy-in from the C-suite in order for these holistic changes to take place.
Right, right, absolutely. And I think especially when it's about redesigning your workplace, that just can't happen. It really can't happen bubbling up from the ground up, unfortunately, right? You really have to have that top level buy-in and the long view too, because there's a lot of work that goes into how you think about your office space and when you're gonna think about changing it, right?
Absolutely, you have to, yep. I think you have to look at it iteratively, like it's an ongoing idea. I think some years ago, in a past experience, we used to create standards or corporate workplace guidelines for companies, and then they would live in sort of perpetuity. Well, maybe they would live around for 3 or 5 years, and then we would refresh that and go from there. That's evolving quite a bit. There is a guideline structure or a framework around the way that companies would like to look at their workspaces, but the updates are happening much more rapidly now. The change of culture, technology, all the different aspects have said, you know, we just can't put together a program and sit with the program for 5 years, because in year three, so many new factors have come in place and it's already antiquated.
Right.
So how can you do something that addresses that need for that to be sort of a living, breathing way of approaching how your company addresses a design in the workplace?
Right. And from our perspective, that would be the reason for having some really good cultural principles that still allow for flexibility and evolution and innovation in how you actually achieve those principles. Like if your principles are related to, you know, being more transparent and sharing more information, there's different ways you can do that, you know, over time as your company evolves. But just being really clear that transparency is a priority is one way to make sure you allow for that. So
absolutely. I like the idea of cultural principles, by the way. Awesome term.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I might just be using that on my next one.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead and steal that. So one question I did want to address, obviously related to what we've been talking about, but specifically around the idea of lifelong learning. So we know that companies provide to a greater or lesser extent professional development and training and things like that. But I'd love to dig into that a little bit more from your perspective coming out of this research. You know, are there ways to incorporate the idea of professional development or rather to incorporate collegiate design into how companies do professional development or lifelong learning?
There's a huge opportunity. I mean, you know, 78% of the clients that we spoke with told us that there was no similarity in how students on campus achieve their daily tasks versus how recently hired graduates were working in their respective companies. And 91% of the same clients were telling us that there were no similarities in the student work styles on campus versus the work styles that recently hired graduates were using in their prospective companies. So the opportunity to take a look at campus planning and use that as a holistic design strategy is really, really evident, I think. And it's a huge opportunity for organizations that really are trying to attract and retain newly hired graduates or recently recent graduates, I should say.
And to kind of add to what Jonathan said, you know, we've looked at some additional research that just was completed, but it was not related to education, but it had related to more generational study, millennials, Gen Z, and other generations. But they were looking at some of those younger generations that 75% of them wanted to take aspects of learning into their work environment as they came into work. I would say years ago, even myself included, I didn't expect that. I would say, well, I'd want to be learning on the job of what I'm doing, but they are looking to continue learning in a lot of different ways. And that brought up what you just said, Maddie, about the company's expectations about what they're doing for how they have to learn and continue that learning. That's not going away. And all those learnings have to do with technology learning, learning on the job, learning about what they're doing, and perhaps learning something new as well. Those aspects of all of that have to do with, well, are the environments that they're working in, are they conducive to the ability to learn while you're on the job in that direct study aspect of learning, collegial design learning?
Right, and we've done a lot of research on millennials, and from our perspective, we've discovered that the learning that they want to do is not sort of like you said, it's not just internal, it's not just through the things provided by the company, it's actually learning on a continuous basis through their networks, through their peers, through, you know, other people, through the internet. And there's a phrase that we've used when we speak about this that's about how there's no such thing as I don't know, there's only I don't know yet, because you know, I have a phone that where I can look anything up and find somebody who knows something about, you know, whatever this is that I'm trying to learn about. So it's very multidimensional in terms of how they want to be able to do that. And then the other piece of it is about their desire to sort of customize their own work experience, which I'm sure comes up in your stuff as well. But it's not about having, you know, a big collaborative open workspace and that's the end all be all. It's actually that individuals want to be able to work in different ways based on what it is that they're working on or what day of the week it is or what their mood is.
Right.
You know, and to design your work.
And that's how that's how students work, right? I mean, if you go to a college campus, they are working everywhere. Truly, our country's first distributed workforce, whether it's the cafe or the commons or the library, or a stairwell or a park bench or outside on the grass or in the hallway, their ability to toggle back and forth between different physical spaces is something that is fundamentally part of the fabric of their everyday life. So it's important that we pick up on those cues when we think about improvements that can be made at the corporate level.
So we just have a few minutes left. I want to be conscious of time because I could literally talk about this stuff for days. but I do want to end on some practical, you know, what if a company wants to pay more attention to the work that you guys have been doing? You know, what would be the next steps or how can they start to kind of do this kind of research just for themselves and their own their own company, their own workplace environment.
Right. So I'll kind of paraphrase a couple of things. And one of the things that Jonathan and I did as we came out with our more recent paper is we addressed some recommendations. So if you get your hands on a copy, it'll go a little bit deeper. But I'll highlight a couple that were really important to us. And the first one's really simple. It would take just go back to college, first of all. Go back and really observe this. This does not take that long. It doesn't take a year long to do a research like Jonathan and I did. It can be very succinct and short. But if you're going to be looking at a large move or thinking about new principles around your workplace standards, go in and do a little bit of observation for a few hours with the right people in your company, not just real estate people and facilities, but bring along HR, IT should come with perhaps different practice sectors with whatever type of business it is, and take an opportunity to see how these students are working and know how that they might apply to your specific company culture. And also go to the company, the colleges that you recruit from, because obviously they're working in the environment that has been built by that a particular university or college that these students have been living with for several years. So definitely take time to observe. That's probably one of the top ones. I think you have to also then consider how do you apply those things. So think about some of the spaces we talked about earlier, especially those common spaces. Maddie, you just brought it up. We gave the beanbag example. But, structurally around how flexible environments work, as Jonathan was saying, everyone works everywhere. Make sure that if you're thinking about applying some of these concepts, that they're going to be supported by management in that if you say that we are going to provide flexible different work spaces for recently hired graduates to work in and not just assign them a singular desk, then they have to be supported in wherever they're sitting to do that work and not viewed differently because that's the way that they work. And if somebody else in your organization sits at a singular desk and they're successful, that's completely fine too. Recognizing those differences is very important. So those are probably two. I don't know, Jonathan, if you have another one to add, those are two that I know that we really rest our morals on quite a bit.
Yeah, I know, some of our clients, they're obviously focused on the bottom line. So I think it's also just important to note that I think there are ways to measure ROI on these types of activities. I think it's possible to take a look at things like retention rates, job performance, promotion rates, and so forth within one's own company. Because we were doing a kind of a comparison of collegiate design to corporate design, Brett and I actually took a look at the different ways that colleges, the way that they rate themselves and determine whether or not they're having success. So if you look at things like admission rates, total GPAs, graduation rates, those can be akin to what we do in the corporate world. So if admission is the same as employee recruitment and retention, GPAs are based on things like job performance or work performance. Graduation rates are akin to promotion rates in the corporate world. So, I think there's a lot to be learned from how colleges track success as well. And I think there is an ROI to be measured.
Well, I love that. I think that's a perfect thing to end on. And of course, I will ask you guys to send me all the links and everything. I will include that with the podcast when we put it up. And just want to thank you again for this really, really fun conversation. Can't wait to talk more about it.
Thanks, Maddie, for having us.
Yep. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate your time.
And that was the Culture Chat today. We'll have some highlights up on the blog soon. Find out more about WorkXO and how to map your workplace genome at workxo.com.